presented by the Financial Services Forum.
Hey, good morning, everyone. I'm Playbook co-author Ryan Lizza. It's Friday, May 17th, and here's what's driving the day. Yesterday evening, the House passed that bill rebuking Biden for withholding certain heavy weapons to Israel. The final vote was 224 to 187. And both sides got a little bit of what they wanted. The Republicans sent a message that their support for Israel is virtually unconditional. And House Democrats and the White House managed to limit defections to just 16 members, depriving the GOP of driving a larger wedge through the party on this issue. But the bill is not going anywhere. Chuck Schumer said he has no plans to bring it up for a vote in the Senate, and President Biden has threatened to veto it anyway. Next up, don't miss this week's episode of Playbook Deep Dive out today. I sat down with Frank Fahrenkopf, the co-founder and co-chair of the Commission on Presidential Debates, who is not having the best week. But he had a lot to say about Biden, Trump, Anita Dunn, Rudy Giuliani, his views of good and bad debate moderators, the harsh accusations leveled against him by the Biden campaign in their Wednesday letter to him informing him that Biden would not participate in the commission's 2024 debates, why he thinks RFK Jr. may have grounds for a lawsuit against CNN, and some amazing behind-the-scenes stories from his decades producing debates. It's a really interesting conversation, and you can find that episode wherever you get your podcasts. More on it in the newsletter today as well. Finally, Donald Trump is headed to Minnesota today, and you might be thinking, hey, that's not a swing state, is it? So what's he up to? National political correspondent Adam Wrenn has a piece this morning that breaks it all down, and he's here to talk with me about Trump's general Minnesota obsession. What's going on here?
So Donald Trump is going to Minnesota to speak at the largest fundraising dinner of the year, the Lincoln-Reagan dinner that the Minnesota GOP hosts each year. And in doing so, Donald Trump is sort of breaking a pledge that he made in 2020 when he was campaigning. At the time, he said that he's never going to go back to Minnesota if he doesn't win the 2020 election. Now, remember, that's the year that he and former Vice President Mike Pence hit the state seven times, a blue state like Minnesota, which is sort of the linchpin of the Democratic blue wall in the upper Midwest. They went there seven times in 2020 under the idea that they could potentially flip a blue state red. This is a state that Donald Trump lost to Hillary Clinton by 1.5 points in 2016. And so Minnesota has become a bit like Lucy's football, that she continues to pull away from Donald Trump. But in 2020, they lost it by 7 points. So this is a state that's moving further blue. But Donald Trump and his team are increasingly obsessed with the idea that they can win Minnesota.
All right. So I have a couple questions about this. One, is there any evidence out there, public or private, that they're onto something here with Minnesota?
Well, there's one Survey USA poll recently that former Governor Tim Pawlenty pointed me to that has them close, that has Biden and Trump close. Internally, Trump's team, his pollsters, believe that their data shows that the race is winnable. And Minnesota is not the only place where they're saying this in a surprising way. They're also pointing to New Jersey. They're pointing to Virginia. But even Minnesota Republicans are sort of casting a side eye on the idea that Trump should play Minnesota, that he could win there. You know, even though Tim Pawlenty pointed to that poll, he said that this is, you know, on the best day, a sort of Viking purple state, but it's a blue state. It's one of the very few states that have a Democratic trifecta where Democrats control the governor's office and both houses of the state legislature. So this is a little bit like casting at windmills here for Trump.
Yeah. I mean, we always get these feints in presidential campaigns, especially early in the cycle when there's just some testing of the waters of, you know, the possibility of expanding the map. The Biden campaign earlier this year argued in a memo they sent to the press that Florida was now in play because of abortion. And so far, they have not put their money where their mouth is. And Florida is a pretty expensive state in presidential politics. So I don't think anyone really takes it seriously. Any sign that the Trump campaign is going beyond a sort of feint here and is actually putting some money on the air, which I guess at the end of the day is the test?
You know, so far, the answer to that is no. My colleague Natalie Allison and I spoke to people like Democratic Governor Tim Walz. We talked to Tina Smith, the senator. We talked to, you know, Tim Kaine in Virginia. And there's really not evidence, particularly in Minnesota, that the Trump campaign is spending any money on a ground campaign there. The suburbs in that state will be key. You know, all political indicators are pointing to a strong year for Democrats. So we don't have that evidence yet, and this could very well be, as you point out, a feint.
And then finally, Adam, in your piece, which is out this morning at politico.com, you did talk about this presentation that was given at Mar-a-Lago by the Trump high command. Just briefly, what was that all about?
Yeah, so you know, during the presentation, campaign advisors Chris LaCivita and Susie Wiles and the pollster Tony Fabrizio kind of flashed numbers on a screen from John McLaughlin, who is another Trump pollster, and they show that President Joe Biden and Trump are tied at 40% in Minnesota right now, and that Biden is up 3 percentage points in Virginia. And, you know, this, of course, is, you know, if you look at it without independent Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as an option, Trump was up 5 points in Minnesota, according to this internal data.
Interesting. All right. So we'll watch. We'll see what he says today, and we'll see if they put their money where their mouth is. Adam, thanks so much for breaking that down.
Good to be with you, Ryan.
And for your schedule today, the Senate is out and the House is in. And this morning, President Biden will deliver remarks at the National Museum of African American History and Culture. This afternoon, he and Vice President Kamala Harris will meet with the leaders of the Divine Nine, historically black sororities and fraternities. The music in today's show was composed by the mysterious Breakmaster Cylinder. Callan Tansel-Sudduth is our podcast producer. Annie Reese is managing producer. Mike DeBonis and Zach Stanton are our editors. I'm Ryan Lizza. Thank you for listening.
Basel III Endgame will make it harder for consumers to buy a house or a car. It'll hurt the small businesses that rely on loans to grow, and it'll reduce savings for people with money in pension funds. Regulators propose capital requirements would take a toll on families, seniors, farmers, and small businesses. Washington, scrap Basel III Endgame and start over.